everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing The Buckmaster Show. We are off and running. It's Monday, August 22nd, 2022. The Buckmaster Show from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station is 1030 KVOI. The Voice, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Our live line when we do our telephone interviews. And if you would like to join us on the live line, it's presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe and the team specialize in custom frame mirrors. They have some beautiful art in the gallery. Of course, they're kind of what they're known for is their wonderful picture framing. And they do all sorts of services, like Mo will come out, make sure what he has framed goes up on the wall where you want it and done the right way. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, next to Copenhagen. Give Copenhagen a free plug there. And their website's moesgallery.com. Our team of commentators, we welcome back after a couple of weeks off, Shelley Keis, one-time congressional candidate, current chairwoman of the Pima County Republican Party and outgoing Continental School District Board member. And we welcome back Brian Bickle, treasurer of the Pima County Democratic Party. Brian ran for Pima County Supervisor in District 1 in 2016, and he ran for Pima County Treasurer, narrowly lost in 2020. Brian, how are you?
Doing well, Bill. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be here again.
Always a pleasure to see you. And Shelley, great to see you. You took a couple of weeks off, rightly so. You were right in the middle of the primary. You sent over a wonderful substitute. Chris Ackerley was very good.
Isn't he amazing?
Well, we liked Chris a lot.
Well, very,
he says, as we say in the business, a good talker. That always that always helps when you're on the radio. So why don't we begin with you, Shelley, kind of the turnout for the primary, some of your thoughts.
Well, I think the turnout in Pima County was about 36%. That isn't what I think any of us want to see. We want to see more people coming up for the midterm primary. But it wasn't really anything significant or actually different than another midterm primary, say, you know, back in 2018. Now, it was, of course, lower than in the general, in the presidential year. But during the presidential year, people are paying a little bit more attention than they are in these mid-year elections. So I think that it was down, but I will say that I think the election overall went off pretty well in Pima County. And I think that we need to work. Certainly the Republicans need to get Republicans out there to vote.
You did have concern, Shelley, about this new elections director in Pima County.
I had concerns about a perfect storm, a crossover to new technology, new leadership on the part of the recorder, the elections director, a new county administrator, and moving to the vote centers. So between technology, location, and leadership, that was certainly cause for concern.
Did it work well for you as far as you're concerned, Brian?
I think when you're implementing a program of the magnitude that we did with the vote centers, that it went off as well as it did was really quite good. We did have some problems. There are some issues that we've been able to identify that we will endeavor to work on, and some long-term issues. You know, we're using ballot-on-demand printers for the vote centers, which is one of the reasons that they work the way they do. After the general election, we're going to put those printers on a shelf for 18 months, essentially. How well are they going to work when you take them back off the shelf? And I think we need to develop some strategies, because there are things that are going to be done differently than they've been done in the past. And I think the more we can be proactive with addressing these problems and making sure they're not problems, the better off everybody's going to be when it actually comes time to do the 2024 election. I will say I'm glad we didn't wait until the 2024 election to implement the program. Probably would have been more problematic just because of the magnitude of the election. As Shelley has said, presidential elections tend to be significantly higher volume than midterm elections do.
It was one of these years, throw the bums out. I mean, there were people that had been kind of fixtures up at the legislature who did not win re-election. Vince Leach, I think that was the big surprise locally, Shelley Kice.
That was one of the surprises locally, although our candidates that we had for LD17 were out working the neighborhoods. They worked the east side, which is where I believe two of them are from. They worked the north side, and I think that showed an effective strategy.
Unity will be a big deal, won't it, Shelley?
Well, we had a unity rally at Mavericks about on August 10th, and we probably had 250 to 300 people there. It was quite an exciting night. We had all of the 18 TVs going with a slideshow of all of our candidates. Our candidates got up and spoke, and I would say that, in fact, they were on fire. Our candidates were excited. They're motivated. They're getting ready to go get them. We just opened the Hispanic Community Center. We had co-chair Tommy Hicks down here last Friday, and we opened the Hispanic Community Center here in Tucson. We've got our Arizona Victory team at work. I'm pretty excited about everything I see going on. We certainly have a lot of energy. Our candidates are going to work, and we're getting things done.
Some are saying, Brian Bickle, this is a gift for the Democrats. When you look at the top of the ticket for the Republicans, you've got election deniers and Trump backers. You think the Democrats have a little easier time this time around because of that?
Not really. I think people tend to drop their guard and back off a little bit because they see the far right-wing election denier candidates at the top of the ticket and say this is doable. I think that's bad. Treat it like any other election. Get out there, as Shelley said, be a candidate, work your butt off, and pretend that you're 10 points down as far as the polling is concerned, and work to overcome that disadvantage. But, you know, we're hopeful. There are obviously some races up there that we as a party are very, very concerned about. The Secretary of State's office. I've known Mark Fincham for a number of years. I'm not particularly enamored with his political positions on a lot of issues. I think it's incumbent upon the Democrats not to get comfortable with what they might perceive to be a relatively easy election process. Treat it like you've always treated it. Work hard, get in the trenches, and make every effort to win the election.
So, Shelley, the big question for you and Republican leadership, and how do Republicans sell this group at the top of the tickets to independent voters?
Well, I think it's going to be easy for us to sell Carrie Lake as governor and Mark Fincham and Abe Hamaday and Kimberly Yee. Kimberly certainly on the success that she's already experienced the past 4 years. Carrie Lake has been a very successful woman in her own right. And she's going up against a woman who has been charged for race discrimination. I mean, those are court records. They can be seen. So, going up against someone who has been charged with discrimination, it makes it, I think, a little bit easier for the Republicans to say, we are the party that wants to bring everyone together. And I think we're starting to see, particularly all the national polls are showing us that Hispanics are starting to lean toward our side. They're starting to recognize that the values of the Republican Party are, in fact, the values of many Hispanic communities. And I think it's going to be a little bit easier for us than people are thinking. We're going to work hard. And because we do work hard, I think that's what's going to bring it home for the Republicans in 2022.
Kerry is certainly an unconventional candidate. She's avoiding mainstream media, doing interviews with podcasters. She's talking about dissolving the FBI. I mean, those are out of the mainstream, aren't they?
Yeah, she is running her campaign a little bit differently, but one of the things that she is doing is she is calling out Katie Hobbs for not being willing to debate. I mean, how could we possibly elect a governor that isn't willing to come out and debate? So it's going to make it really easy for us to elect Kerry. Because she's going to be out there. She's going to be out in front. She's going to let people see what she's doing and who she is and what she believes in. And again, we've got somebody that's just trying to campaign from their basement or their casita, I guess is what we'd say here in Arizona. But, you know, if she's going to campaign from the casita, we're not going to see her. We're not going to vote for her. So,
what do you think, Brian?
I think in the 2016 presidential race, we came up with a situation where we had the highest elected official in the land that had absolutely no experience working with government, and I kind of see that same situation with our Republican gubernatorial candidate this go-round. You know, going from a TV weather woman to being the governor of the state, I don't know that that bodes well for anybody. I think the Latinos that are shifting from the Republican Party, or from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party, I don't know that it's all that great, but I think it's a lot of the people that are hearkening back to the accusation that the Democratic Party is socialist in nature, and they're comparing it to Cuba and Venezuela. I'd like to think that people are smart enough to recognize that Cuba never was a socialist country. It's a communist country, and Venezuela, even though they might say they're socialist, they're probably closer to communism than they are anything else. So, you know, Germany is a socialist country. England is a socialist country, and I think people are very happy with the way people survive over there. So I think it's trying to figure out what the labels mean that we're putting on everybody and how to deal with them and make sure they're correct labels. But, you know, I think the top of the ticket's winnable for the Democratic Party this year.
Do you think it's a mistake for Katie Hobbs to avoid kind of a one-on-one with, debate with Kerry Lake?
From a personal
perspective. And it might be the first time, as I recall, that has ever happened, that they have not had, at least in my 34 years, I can't recall where there was not a gubernatorial debate.
Yeah, a mistake. I don't know that it's her decision. I wouldn't try and classify it as right or wrong. Certainly not something that I would envision as being a great tactic. But then again, it's her race to run, and it's her race to win or lose. So if she thinks not debating is the way to go, then, you know, I whether she debates or doesn't debate, I certainly have no intention of voting for Kerry Lake.
And Katie Hobbs did apologize in that discrimination matter, Shelley.
Okay.
So, you know, one of our listeners just questioned whether she was actually charged. I'm not sure if she formally was. I can look that up during the break, but we'll take a break right here. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
This is John Trout. Start your day well-informed and join me for America in the Morning, weekday mornings at 5 before Wake Up Tucson on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Shelley Kice is here, seated to my right, and Brian Bickle seated to my left. Our team of Monday Political Face-Off commentators, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. And just to clarify about Katie Hobbs, Arizona Secretary of State Katie Hobbs, in December of 2021, apologized to the African-American policy advisor who won a multi-million dollar jury award against the Arizona Senate for racial and sexual discrimination. A federal jury determined that Talona Adams, 45 years old, was fired by the state Senate in 2015 because she complained that her low pay was the result of racial and sexual discrimination. She was awarded more than $2 million in damages, which was knocked down to $300,000 due to a federal statute. So Katie Hobbs was not specifically charged, Shelley Kice, with discrimination.
I agree, but I think that she actually worked for Katie Hobbs.
I think you're right. All right, so Brian Bickle, the raid, and we were talking during the break, you don't view it as a raid on Trump's home in Florida. Do you think it was justified from what you understand?
Based on what I've heard, yes. And I think, and I know Shelley and I have both worked with classified documents. We both had significant security clearances. Whether documents are justly or unjustly classified is immaterial. I think the fact that you had classified documents or the potential to have classified documents in an unsecure location is something that's critical to national security. And I think terming it a raid is, you know, basically they served a search warrant on the residence. They didn't go into the club portion of Mar-a-Lago. They went into the place where he actually resides. His attorney was present. He was not, nor were any members of his family. They were all up in Bedminster. So, they obviously found something. You don't walk out with 21 boxes of material and say there was nothing to be found. And whether it was justly or unjustly done, I think it's going to require a little bit of patience on everybody's part and wait till we find out what really was there and what wasn't there.
Shelley, was there kind of a rush to judgment after the word first got out about this, that it was just an awful thing? Shouldn't we have all kind of waited till we see what those documents contain?
Well, you know what, Bill, my thoughts on this are, yesterday is a statement, tomorrow is a question. So the statement that I want to make is I know that probably the six most fascinating hours every 4 years are the 6 hours that the residence and the office of the president are packed up and moved during that one day. And I assure you that neither Mrs. Trump nor President Trump packed their boxes. That is handled by the General Services Administration. This is a government function. It's a governmental function. If, in fact, it was a problem, then it rests at the feet of the government. The same feet of the government that is now headed by Joe Biden and has removed the union from 7,600 ICE agents. The same administration that now is sponsored by the Biden administration that has passed laws and orchestrated legislation that is driving up inflation and hurting our economy and the people. And so, was it a raid? Well, I don't know. But what I do know is that it is the federal government, and Brian knows this as well, that packed up that house and moved his assets. It was not the Trumps, and they knew what was in those boxes. And so if they went in and they were looking for something, they should know exactly what box it's in, because there was somebody at GSA that put it in that box.
Brian, do you have any response to that?
I assume that was the statement. I guess I'm kind of waiting for the question.
Beth has sent us an email, wants to clarify a statement that Brian made. Brian, Carrie Lake was an anchor at the Fox station, not a weather girl, as you portrayed her.
Okay, and I don't believe I called her a weather girl. I called her a weather woman.
A weather woman. Okay. Anyway, she was an anchor at the Fox station in Phoenix. And, of course, Shelley, the big lopsided defeat of Liz Cheney. Does Liz Cheney have any future in the Republican Party, Shelley Keyes?
I don't know. Again, the future is a question, and I don't know. I think that's an interesting question. Mm-hmm. I think that she is anticipating that she is going to raise, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and that she is going to address people who she believes are not Republican. So we'll see where she goes. But when you suffer a defeat as stunning as she did, I think that probably not. I think the days of dynasty politics are over.
What is it? Is that one of the things that defeat says to you, that the days of dynasty politics are over?
Yeah, I do think that, the Bushes, the Clintons, the Cheneys, I don't think that we're going to see these dynasty, and that goes for the Trumps as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, I do think that there's some of that as well.
Brian, do you think so?
I think yeah, I hope we're looking at the end of dynasty presidencies. I don't know that they're good for anybody. I think the interesting thing about Liz Cheney's defeat, and one of the things I find interesting, you know, the voting population in the state of Wyoming is less than the voting population in the county of Pima. They've got twice as many senators as they do representatives, because their representative represents the whole state. So, and it's if my memory serves me right, it's probably 80-20 registered Republicans versus Democrats. So the chances of a Democrat ever representing Wyoming in Washington are probably slim and none, and slim being generous. So does it come as a surprise? Not really. I think I give her credit for sticking it out and actually running for re-election, as opposed to saying, no, I'm probably not going to get re-elected anyhow, therefore I'm not going to run. I think that probably makes a greater statement than any of the people did that just said, I've had it. I can't get re-elected, so I'm just not going to run again.
All right, that's going to do it for our Monday Political Face-Off. Shelley Keis, thanks, Shelley, for coming in, doing double duty today, co-hosting with our friend Sean McCluskey this morning. 3 hours. Shelley, so you got up at 3:45. Oh, boy. Well, we appreciate you coming back to the station for the Face-Off. Brian Bickle, thank you very much, Brian.
You're welcome.
The Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's is located at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and they have a beautiful website, moesgallery.com. We'll be back with an interview with Pima County Supervisor Dr. Matt Hines right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade, using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We love green things, and what a perfect time of year to go over green things, to go over there at 3384 East River Road. The rains have come and maybe gone for a brief drying out period. Still some pretty good rain chances later this week. So in this intermission, the pause in the action, this would be a perfect time to go over to Green Things and get some beautiful things in your garden. A 13-acre site is also home to Zocalo Village, all that beautiful merchandise, much of it handcrafted in Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Go by, tour the five shops at Zocalo Village at Green Things. Green Things is open daily. Their website is greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. With us on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Dr. Matt Hines, Pima County Supervisor, District 2. Matt has been an attending physician at Tucson Medical Center since 2003. He was elected to the Arizona State House in 2008. Matt served two terms and was chosen by his Democratic colleagues to serve as the caucus whip in the House. And then he did a stint in Washington from 2013 to 2015, serving as the director for provider outreach in the office of the Secretary of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Matt, how are you?
Doing well. How are you, Bill?
Doing well. You know, I think about when you were first elected to the Pima County Supervisors, right in the middle of, right in the middle of the pandemic. You were elected in 2020. Sure. So you're coming up on 2 years in the office. How has this gone for you?
Well, you know, it's been pretty unique when you're used to campaigning and going to house parties and attending, you know, many, many public events and forums and walking door to door and shaking hands. And that kind of just all went out the window for that campaign, for everyone, not just for me. So it was a unique campaign experience, a unique, obviously, overall situation with the pandemic. And the fact that I didn't physically meet Rex Scott in person for like a year and a half or something like that because we were all doing meetings remotely, you know, so for the first entire year of 2021. So, it's been quite the journey, and we were having every meeting, you know, an hour or more to talk about pandemic things. And now we don't even have the COVID pandemic item regularly appearing because things have obviously settled down quite a bit to more of an endemic kind of a situation.
Are you thinking about seeking standing for re-election for another four-year term, Matt?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Although it is a little early because 2024 is when we would, all four, five of us, my four colleagues and myself would have to do that. But yeah, it's, I definitely am still learning the position, but I think that we've been able to make some pretty good strides, not just on the pandemic, but on other things as well for the county. And I like the work, and I look forward to continuing it if the people want to have me.
Well, even though COVID-19 is not on the current agenda for you and your colleagues on the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Matt, it's on my agenda because I've got an item.
Oh, sure.
I've got a couple of COVID items I want to address with you. First of all, Pima
Please.
County is extending the free COVID-19 test to treat program. This is a nationwide federal initiative, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And,
yeah, no, that's very important.
Yeah, and this is people that are being started on that oral medication, Paxlovid?
Paxlovid.
Yeah.
That's right.
And they get this free of charge, which seems like a good deal.
Yes, for sure. And the good thing now is that with, I believe, Dr. Garcia's latest, 75% of Pima County residents fully vaccinated now, and over 50% of eligible folks have been boosted to the fullest extent possible as well. That really, really helps to make sure that when people do contract COVID, even when they've been vaccinated, it's going to be a much, much, much less severe situation. And in the vast majority of cases, they will not need to go into the hospital. And this is the kind of program that helps helps with that, getting that oral antiviral medication into people's hands as soon as they possibly can start taking it, will shorten the course and will keep them out of my hospital ER for sure.
It's kind of interesting. I was talking to Dr. Cullen on the show. The Pima County Health Director was with us Friday. That even though it seems like the case numbers are down, it's about 75 COVID cases a day in Pima County. Those are cases that are reported to the health department. Dr. Cullen believes
Correct. It's
3 to 5 times that many cases, which would put it at almost the height of the COVID pandemic epidemic. But the good news is you're not seeing it over at your hospital.
That's right. That's right. And remember, it used to be almost all testing went through some, a county, likely the county government, possibly the state up in Maricopa County did a lot of this testing up there. But that's not the case anymore. So we aren't seeing as much of these in terms of the reporting going through the county. So I do agree with Dr. Cullen there. We aren't able to see all the cases that are happening. And I think that she's absolutely right. The number is multiple times what we're actually seeing and logging. But the fact that we aren't seeing, even when we know the community spread is still happening out there, and we see that it's not translating into a huge spike of hospitalizations overwhelming our hospitals or into a large spike subsequently of deaths from COVID, which is great.
What do you think of the CDC saying that they're doing an internal kind of reset of messaging?
Good. I think that's important. I mean, they just came out, a week ago or so with some additional guidance in terms of what makes the most sense for folks to do in terms of isolation when it's not necessary. When to do testing and when not to do testing, like refining those things based on what kind of what we're seeing on the ground, that makes sense. Taking a hard look at what the data is showing and making sure that the advisories reflect that most appropriately. I think that's perfect. And, we had the CDC getting in some kind of trouble during the Trump administration when it looked like they were changing things or revising things not based on science, but based on what it seemed like the president or his administration at that time kind of wanted them to do or say. That in my mind was very problematic, and that does make the organization less trustworthy in the eyes of, I think, all Americans when they see politics coming in and getting involved and not just sticking with what the recommendations and advisories should be based on the science and what's going on in the various communities. So a reset on messaging makes a lot of sense, and I hope it's successful.
Have we transitioned, Dr. Hines, to the endemic phase of COVID-19? In other words, is COVID-19 now a permanent part of the medical landscape?
Yes, I suspect we have. I think that the definitive sort of call on that in terms of when that transition occurred, and that will require probably several more years, a retrospective analysis sometime in the future for all of our public health and population health experts to kind of figure out exactly when that happened. But I'd say that's a reasonable assessment at this point. We're very likely going to have to get some kind of COVID booster similar to influenza seasonally. I don't know if it'll be every year, or maybe we can, make it every 2 years or 5 years or something. I suspect we're going to kind of see COVID sort of get lumped into the seasonal, influenza shot sort of regimen as well.
We have had cases of monkeypox reported in Pima County. Have you been dealing with any of those yet at your particular facility?
You know, yeah, I've been involved in one particular case, but generally speaking, monkeypox is not something that we typically would expect to be swarming into the ERs and flooding the hospitals like we saw with, you know, in the early and mid days of the COVID pandemic. It also spreads in a very different way and tends to affect at least ahead of other populations, particular folks who are most susceptible, most likely to be susceptible. So I have been directing patients and colleagues and you know, other healthcare workers and just, you know, interested members of the public to pima.gov/monkeypox, which is from, of course, the County Health Department, a really great review of everything, kind of how it works. It's more of a contact-based virus, so this is not something that if someone has monkeypox and they're walking down, you know, in the grocery store, you're walking by them in the aisle, you're not going to get monkeypox, you know, from someone kind of breathing a little bit sort of close to you. That's not really the way it spreads, but it is something that can spread a lot better than COVID, for example, from person to person using surfaces. So that's why, you know, if someone has been exposed, then, you know, you need to, or someone is known to be infected, that's why the recommendation is, of course, like towels, sheets, pillowcases, that kind of thing. You can't be sharing those with someone who has had it and is known to have had it. And yeah, so it's very, very different than COVID, that's for sure. And the vast majority of county residents are not going to need to worry about vaccination, most likely. But there is some availability of the vaccine, and a handful of the treatment, which is an antiviral, used to also treat, you know, smallpox, which is not a thing, thankfully. But that is available, and we do have that at the County Health Department. In the cases, the severest of cases where that is necessary, that can be obtained for patients in need.
All right, we're going to take a pause right here with Dr. Matt Hines, back with Dr. Hines. I want to talk to him about this 3-2 vote, he voting for this challenge to the Arizona ban on local gun controls. We'll be right back with Dr. Hines.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hi, this is Tom Sullivan. Join me weeknights from 7 to 10 for the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Monday edition presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. My friends over there say, Bill, you wouldn't believe how green it is. And I said, yeah, I'd believe it if they've had over in the Gila National Wilderness anything close to what we've had up in the Mount Lemmon area. The Catalinas look like, why take a trip to Maui? It looks like you're in the Hawaiian Islands right now. Anyway, 3-hour drive over to Silver City. This is a great time of year to do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Perhaps visit the world famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. There's lots to do. All of those activities are articulated on their website. Also places to stay, great places to eat. Southwest New Mexico, spelled out .org. For more information about a great trip over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, Dr. Matt Hines with us on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Dr. Hines, have you been over to New Mexico?
Oh, I was having a little trouble hearing. Yeah. Have I been to New Mexico? Was that the question?
Yeah.
I have, actually. It was several months ago. I drove over to visit a friend there. So, yeah, it's beautiful.
It is very beautiful. Now, you voted with the majority in the 3-2 vote to challenge. This was a vote earlier this month. 3-2 to challenge the Arizona ban on local gun controls. Some of your thoughts on this. Is it a suicide mission? I mean, is there any hope for this?
Well, look, I think it's important that we have some ability as local authorities, and this goes for county boards and municipalities, towns, cities, to look into the things that are causing harm to our residents. I mean, these are our constituents, and we are oath bound to help them protect them from things that they can be protected from, right? So I think that having some ability to look at this and take certain steps, if it makes sense, is really something that these local authorities should be able to retain. And even from the time I was in the legislature, there's always been a lot of restrictions coming from the state in terms of telling local authorities what they can and can't do. And I think this doesn't make much sense. And I would like to see this adjudicated if possible.
Is this all about the gun shows at the Pima County Fairgrounds, Dr. Hines?
I mean, yeah, I'm sure that's part of it. Like the ability to, as a county, decide whether or not, knowing if vendors that are going to be using the Pima County Fairgrounds are refusing to be federal vendors, meaning they are not going to be adhering to the federal requirement in terms of background checks for the weapons that they're selling on county property, I do think that should be something that we should be able to take into account when considering whether or not to extend or renew contracts for the fairgrounds and the other county property to be rented to those types of businesses or vendors if they knowingly are doing things that could potentially endanger the lives of county residents.
What did you think about changing the marijuana zoning rules? Did you vote in favor of that? It was a 3-2 vote.
Yes, I did.
Why?
And that was, well, I thought the way, and again, I believe this was, there was a lot of discussion on this, it did make the most sense based on what I'd heard from multiple constituents and those who were involved. I think that I believe this was something that you could hear from our discussion at the time. If we need to reconsider this, we can certainly do that if necessary, within a 12-month period or even sooner.
The board voted just a couple of weeks ago, special meeting, maybe it was even last week, to set the tax rate. What should our listeners know about the Pima County tax rate, Dr. Hines?
Well, I think the most important thing for folks to know is that the state legislature continues to shift millions and millions of dollars onto the local tax, frankly, to shift it. And then you see this in your tax bills. If you get those property tax assessments, you can, there's a specific, we call attention to that, but we did not implement the policy that had been voted on previously by a previous board, I believe at the recommendation of Mr. Huckleberry at the time, to just automatically adjust anything that gets shifted to the county taxpayers from the state. Those cost shifts will just automatically get absorbed into an adjustment to that tax rate. So the rate did go down again. So that's great. But we are going to have to, basically, the county board, the county budget, we're going to have to use, leftover funds at the end of the cycle to take care of the millions of dollars of cost shifting that was sort of thrown onto Pima County and all the other counties by the legislature from this past session. And that's something that I just want people to be aware of, that if they do see that, their taxes are edging up a little bit in the future, it's very likely because of the fact that the state is finding ways to shift millions of dollars to the county and local taxpayers away from the state.
Was that happening when you were up in the legislature?
In some ways, it was less, it seemed like less of an issue because many of my Republican colleagues, especially from the smaller rural communities and counties, knew knew all these supervisors very well, and they would get an earful if they started looking at a budget that shifted, tens or hundreds of millions of dollars in aggregate to the local, municipalities and or counties. They would get kind of an earful from their friends and local colleagues, and so a lot of that would kind of stop, or it was less prevalent then. It seems to have continued and I think escalated a bit since I was there a decade ago.
Okay, Dr. Matt Hines, do you still have your dog?
Do I? Yes, I still have my dog, Glenn. Yes.
How's the dog like the beautiful moist weather?
Oh, she loves it. She's a little perplexed by all the occasional sideways rain episodes, but no, she likes the green. She likes to eat plants that grow in the courtyard, and then she'll usually vomit them up. So,
on that note, we'll let you go. Dr. Matt Hines, thanks for talking with us.
Of course, Bill, anytime.
Bye. All right, that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Wrapping it up, tomorrow we'll speak with an old friend of mine who I haven't seen since my days on Channel 6. Nancy Han joins us. Nancy's now president of the League of Women Voters. She'll be with me in studio. Got Shelley Fishman. Oh, boy, what a day on the markets. Hopefully better tomorrow, but no guarantees. And then Travel Talk with Ryan Hansen. We love talking travel with Ryan. All that tomorrow. See you in 23 hours. Have a great day.